Titans back at it on the big stage Saturday night, 7:15 our time, just like this past week in Foxborough, except for this week, it'll be in Baltimore against the Ravens. The man who'll be in the booth on the call, Ian Eagle, does a tremendous job. Him and Dan Fouts will be calling the game on Saturday night. Ian, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Well, we got a lot to talk about in this market.
Oh, yeah.
We do, don't we?
It's been refreshing because obviously over the last like decade there hasn't been a ton to talk about in January unless we were talking about other teams in the playoffs, but that's not the case. The Titans got it done in Foxborough against the Patriots, and now they've got their hands full with the Ravens team. We had Jeff Fisher on the show earlier today. We had Trent Dilfer on yesterday. Obviously, Titans and Ravens in the playoffs in this market over the years, is especially back in the days. I mean, Jeff Fisher was the coach three times when those two teams met in the playoffs. It was a big, big deal, and it's going to be a big deal this weekend, even with it being a road game. What are you expecting? When you're examining this game all week, as we sit here in the middle of the week, what do you think we're going to see on Saturday night?
Yeah, I've seen Baltimore a lot this year, both TV and radio, and I've seen Tennessee enough. Had them twice on TV, had them once on radio, so I had them pre-quarterback change and then literally right after the change when Tannehill made his first start against the Chargers, then caught them a little later against Jacksonville. And really what's amazed me with Tennessee is how confident this group is. The fact that they don't view it as they're just happy to be there, happy to be a part of it. Sometimes with a six seed, you get a little bit of that. I'm not feeling that at all, and I think a lot of that has to do with Mike Vrabel and his approach and the fact that they've really taken on a bit of his personality over the course of this season. There's a true belief. This team is not intimidated by the idea of playing the number one seed. They're not intimidated by the idea of going to Baltimore. The ground and pound mentality, which can be very successful in the postseason, makes you feel pretty good about the Titans when they've got a physical specimen in Derrick Henry that nobody has been able to figure out how to tackle in the second half of the season. So from the Tennessee point of view, they're going to do what they do. I don't think there's any secret in that. Hopefully for them, the conditions are such that Ryan Tannehill can toss the ball around a little bit, but ultimately their bread and butter is going to be riding the shoulders of Derrick Henry. Baltimore, look, it's amazing that they have completely reinvented themselves, and they've had this historic run thanks to this very special talent in Lamar Jackson. And sitting down with him in production meetings, he is not trying to be anybody else but himself. He's not playing the part of what he thinks a quarterback's supposed to say or what an MVP candidate's supposed to say. He is genuine. He is real. And there's a reason why his teammates have reacted and latched on to him the way that they have. He's a really likable guy, and it's all joy. He just brings so much of that to the field, and it permeates through the team. They had a magical season, 14-2, best season in Ravens regular season history, and that's saying a lot for a team that's won two Super Bowls. They do it in a very unique way. Because they can beat you in a couple of different ways. You don't want to really get into a scoring shootout with them because they'll beat you that way. But you want to get physical with them, they're okay with that. They can play both styles. It's really, to me, the most intriguing matchup of this weekend, just based on the fact of the mystery of Tennessee and how they're going to handle themselves in this spot.
That's a really good point. In fact, Tim Hasselbeck joined us last hour, and I said, what's the most intriguing game to you this weekend? And he absolutely said it's the Titans and the Ravens. And going back to what you laid out Baltimore perfectly. I mean, they don't have really any warts. And if they do, they're like hidden, you know, underneath their clothes. They don't have any visible warts. They're just a really, really good team all around. But when we had Trent Dilfer on yesterday, albeit he lives in Nashville, but he's getting honored in Baltimore this weekend around this game. And when we asked him about how this is going to play out, I mean, he did not hesitate to think that this game is going to be close and it is going to be nip and tuck in the fourth quarter. And to be honest, I was a little surprised by that.
I think the Titans have gained so much respect nationally based on their performance last week and the way they played with Tannehill. They looked like a different team. Now, I can tell you, when we sat down in our production meetings for that first meeting with Ryan Tannehill when he was named starting quarterback, and I did a bunch of his games in Miami, what I felt just from the meeting was a guy that completely realized that what he had experienced as the backup quarterback is something he did not want to experience again. He didn't have a choice. It was what it was. Marcus Mariota was the guy. He handled it impeccably well. He's a great guy, so a great teammate. There was no jawing from him. There was no behind-the-scenes politicking. He just went about his business, tried to get a lay of the land, tried to bond with his teammates as much as he could as the backup QB, but not overstep the bounds. But in that meeting, there was a confidence about him that I think really took hold with this team. Maybe they didn't want to acknowledge it. Maybe they didn't want to admit to it, because that's hard to do when Marcus Mariota is considered an incredibly likable guy and a talented guy, and you wanted to make it work. But when you know in your heart that it's not working and that one switch might change everything, and to me it did. It just tipped the scales to a point now where people have taken notice into what they are and what they're all about. And that's why I think there are most people around the country that are looking at this saying this is no pushover game for a number one seed that looked like a clear-cut Super Bowl team. Yeah. That's not to say Baltimore is in favor. They are. They're favored heavily if you're looking at the Vegas side of things. But looking at the football side of things, I doubt this is the team Baltimore wanted to play. They would never acknowledge that or admit that, but I doubt this is the team they wanted to match up with in the divisional round.
My memory isn't the best, so here goes. Did you and Dan have the Chargers game here this year?
We did.
Now,
we did.
How about, isn't that crazy? This is why this league is crazy, because just think about that finish, which I have to, you've done so many games over the years that had to have ranked up there as one of the craziest finishes ever. And just think about it, that could have swung either way. If the Titans lose that, we might even be talking about a team that was playing January football.
Yeah, that was as bizarre a finish as I can remember that I've done in 22 years of doing the NFL on CBS. That, if you would have told me that's how a game would go and end, I would have told you there's no possible way. Chargers will punch it in. Melvin Gordon, give them multiple chances. Chargers needed the game in the worst way to keep their season alive. And Tennessee, we know, was in a very raw state based on the quarterback change. And you're right, the sliding doors mentality when it comes to professional or collegiate sports of if this happens, then that happens. I don't know. I don't know how the season goes. I don't know if the Titans recover if they have to absorb a loss that week. I also worked the game Pittsburgh-Baltimore week 5 that goes to overtime. And Juju Smith-Schuster, with Duck Hodges stepping in for the injured Mason Rudolph, who got tagged, as you might recall, by Earl Thomas, knocked out of the game. Duck Hodges comes in. He actually leads the Steelers on a bit of a run that it appears is going to be a Pittsburgh victory. Juju Smith-Schuster fumbles the ball. Humphrey knocks it out. Ravens end up getting the ball and winning the game with Justin Tucker in OT. That would have been the third straight loss for Baltimore. They would have dropped to 2-3. They would have been dealing with all sorts of questions about the quarterback and the offense. Is it right? Is it working? And then none of that percolated to the surface. All of that was pushed off to the side because Baltimore won the game and they haven't lost since. So you're right. These moments that you might take for granted over the course of an NFL season, no big deal, you'll bounce back next week, they can haunt you and they can affect, in a domino type of effect, the way that your season goes. For Tennessee, it obviously led to an upswing, and here we are having this conversation on divisional round. It's amazing.
We're talking to Ian Eagle of CBS. He'll be on the call for Titans-Ravens in the divisional round Saturday night alongside the Hall of Famer Dan Fouts. You look at running backs in this league, see a lot of little guys, speedy guys. I mean, I can remember Chris Johnson when he was here with the Titans. Derrick Henry, 6'3", 240, somewhere around there, continues to just amaze me every time he touches the football. What is it about him that, I guess his size is what makes him so unique at that position, but what is it that you feel has made him successful?
Well, there are a couple of people at that position that I can speak of when we have these production meetings Friday for the home team, Saturday for the road team on any given Sunday, that step into the room where you have to do a double take first time you see him. Eddie George, first time he came in, that was my exact reaction. Like, whoa, what? Running back? Seriously? And Derrick Henry, certainly the height, but then you're just talking about the body type, and that's where it goes to another level. I think it's a combination of a number of things that make him so unique. Obviously, the size is the one thing that pops off the page, but it's the battering ram mentality. It's the workhorse nature that he gets better as the game goes on. He gets better as the season goes on. That's not usually the case. It's usually the opposite for a bunch of running backs who find tougher sledding in the fourth quarter or tougher sledding in weeks 12 through 17 as opposed to weeks 1 through 8 or 9. He can run between the tackles, but there's a very sneaky burst that comes with him getting to the outside and then him taking on a safety or a linebacker, and it's not a fair fight at that point. If a cornerback wants to help and run support, say goodnight. It's not going to happen. I was there doing the radio game for Tennessee Jacksonville, the 99-yard touchdown run, and the whole vibe of the stadium, when you know you're watching something that's different than everybody else that seems to be doing it and is accomplished at the same position at the same level. That's something I would say about Lamar Jackson. It's a similar feeling that you get, that it's a player playing a position that you've watched forever, but they're just doing it differently than everybody else. And that's Derrick Henry, in my mind. He is a difference maker. He is the real deal. And for the people that have not been paying attention, he's gotten their attention now with his performance last week. But even prior to that, he earned the attention of everybody around the league that he is one of the top-flight elite players at his position.
We had the opportunity to work with Derek Mason. He does our morning show, and, of course, he played for the Ravens and the Titans, but played for John Harbaugh, played with Joe Flacco, and I look at those teams, and obviously they were much different than what they are now. Do you feel like that with Lamar Jackson in this offense that it's almost reinvented John Harbaugh as a head coach? Because here was a guy last year we were kind of wondering, does he come back? Is this the end? But now they're the number one seed.
Well, it certainly rejuvenated him. Having talked to them on a number of occasions this season, I just feel like there's a little extra oomph, a little extra juice, because he knows, he said it, he voiced it to us in one of our early season meetings, that you're just excited as a head coach every day to walk into the building, to the facility, because you know you've got this special quarterback that you potentially could have for the next 10 or 12 years, and they've built the offense around him. I think in the NFL, it's an interesting dichotomy because with all the flurry of moves, with teams making changes at the head coaching position, you're looking for a certain type. And what's happened in my mind with Baltimore and with John Harbaugh, he has really embraced the role of being the CEO of the team. Of course, he's involved in the offensive game plan, defensive game plan, special teams, which was his bread and butter going back to his Philly days. He's involved, of course, like every head coach is involved. But I think there's a trust level with him and his coordinators, Roman and Martindale. And he has taken on this additional role of really understanding what makes these players tick, bonding with them in a way maybe he didn't do early in his career because it was a different kind of group. It was a veteran group. A bunch of those guys had already won a Super Bowl, so they were trying to do it again with some different personnel on the offensive side. And then there are those like Andy Reid that are so heavily involved in the game plan and the X's and O's, and that's worked for him. They very well could win a Super Bowl this year. This might be the crowning achievement in Andy Reid's career. The point is, when you're a team and you're looking for a head coach, the decision has to be made of who do you want representing your team? Who best represents what you're all about? And we just touched on it earlier with Mike Vrabel. I think Tennessee has figured that out, you know, that Mike Vrabel had a very distinct personality and viewpoint of how he wanted to run a team, how he viewed his team, and pairing him with a GM that was familiar with him and knew what he was all about in John Robinson, that is what you're looking for in the NFL. All these teams that are looking for the secret sauce, there you have it. You better have a person in that position that you trust representing you in the best times and representing you sometimes in the worst times.
I enjoy your work. Looking forward to Saturday night. Enjoy the game, and thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no problem. Great talking to you guys. It's really a fun week, the build-up, and trust me, people are paying attention to the Titans. They've earned the recognition, and they've done it the right way.
Good stuff. Thank you, Ian.
See you guys.
All right, Ian Eagle, he will be on the call. CBS Sports, him and Dan Fouts, Saturday night, 7:15 kickoff in Baltimore, Titans and Ravens. And there's yet again another vote for not surprised if this game is close.
It just, I've. And we'll
by the
talk
way, the
about
line has gone back up again.
Has it?
I saw it today at 10.
Yeah. I saw it, I think
Kansas
the last
City
I saw it was
9:30.
Yeah. There's just something, there's this weird feeling that I've had since they beat the Patriots. And I had it even before that of, okay, they're probably going to win. They're going to beat the Patriots. And then I've just had this weird feeling all week of, is this just that team that they're not supposed to, but they're going to? And it's almost the reverse of what we saw in 2000 and 2008 of, you know, the football gods are more or less saying, all right, it's the Titans' turn. Time for them to get theirs. I just, there's something to that. And everybody bringing up Vrabel and how they've taken his personality. I think there's something to that.
I want to talk to all the men out there. I've been telling you for years about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. And they know a lot of you men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, who is the board-certified physician over there, his wife Daphne Lodge, the registered nurse, and their experienced staff want to give you men the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And who doesn't want that? Cool Springs MD services have already helped a lot of you here in the Middle Tennessee area and surrounding areas with improving your immune systems, your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time to achieve that healthy lifestyle than right now. What are you waiting for? Pick up the phone. Make that appointment like I have. 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to their website, coolspringsmd.com.